Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J., here on this December 21st. We are joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Oh, you're doing good over there in Abbotsford, Mel.
Doing all right.
Staying warm, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
We got plenty to get into this morning. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar, of course, in this hour. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Wednesday. That means we'll be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with a wicked awesome word of Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
And at 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. All that coming up. We're also going to be playing a new trivia game.
Yes, we are.
We are now a trivia station. That is what we have become. All we do
food
is trivia. Every hour, trivia questions. No, we are, our friends at Quality Foods have a New Year's basket giveaway that they are doing. We are going to be doing this for about 6 days. We'll do it up until about the 29th. We'll give you a New Year's Day trivia question. Every day you call up, get the question right, you'll be a qualifier to win this basket. Got a bunch of great snacks in there, some champagne.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quality Foods is awesome.
Yeah. I found out I can't win that. I wasn't going to go for the ham, being a Jew, and I wasn't...
nice call.
This one looked really good, though, but Steph told me right away, James, don't even ask. You can't win this.
You're reading the questions, James.
Yeah, that probably doesn't help. It's really bad that I still get them wrong. It's really... I want to get into a couple of things this hour with you, Melissa. I want to talk robes. I want to talk toys.
Ooh,
and
okay.
And what today is, certainly get into that. I have a couple places I have to start, though. First up, starting on a bit of a melancholy note, but this broke overnight. For those that did not hear, legendary football player Franco Harris passed away overnight at the age of 72. Franco Harris was an Italian-American football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Seattle Seahawks for many years. Melissa, I know sports ain't your thing, really, or anything, because you have better things to think about. But for Italians, we don't our Mount Rushmore of Italian legendary, you know, athletes, not that big. My dad growing up, Franco Harris, one of his favorite human beings on the planet, loved him some Franco Harris. And Franco Harris, of course, arguably the most famous play in football history, the Immaculate Reception. For those that don't know, is one of the most famous plays in the history of American football, occurred in the AFC Divisional Playoff game. This is back in 1972, Melissa, where we had like one or two cameras on the football field, basically. and it's the game-winning drive for the Pittsburgh Steelers to go down the field, march down, and win this game. And the ball is thrown by Terry Bradshaw, and it's caught by Franco Harris. And the camera can only catch... It looks like Franco catches it with the bare tips of his fingers off the ground. But there's also an argument that the ball had touched the ground, so it was a play, it wouldn't have counted. Franco grabs this ball, runs it, and you know the Steelers end up winning, and I believe going on to win the Super Bowl, if I have that correct. And so it's a huge play. Raiders fans all over the world are screaming at the radio right now, including my friend Will, that he did not catch the ball. My dad is countering that he did catch it. Nobody will ever know. Franco is, you know, even Franco, I guess, you know, he has said it before. He caught it. He's also said before, I believe, that, you know, who knows? It could have been luck. Just an amazing human being and really did a heck of a lot in his after his playing career for NFL players, for homelessness, for a lot of different causes. So just a heck of a human being. And when these things break overnight, I feel like that's part of the reason why we have a morning show.
Yeah. Condolences to him and to the Maloff family today. Household.
Today is also a rough day because I've got a present sitting in front of me that I am dying. I am not like this with things. I don't get a ton of gifts, but when I do, I get excited, but I'm pretty respectful about it. And I have no problem waiting for my birthday or Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever. For some reason, when I'm told I can't open something, it's 30,000 times worse. And I come in this morning half awake, frozen, and I'm getting ready, I'm running around, and I see a gift up here on the board, right next to the board. And it's from Melissa. And keep this in mind, everybody. Melissa already gave us all something, which one of the most unique, sweet gifts I'll ever receive. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome.
It says, James and Seth, it's got penguins on it. I have a penguin labeled me. Seth has a penguin labeled after him. And it says, do not smell, shake, or open until we're on the air together Thursday for real, just in case the capital letters did not tell me. So, I don't know how I'm supposed to focus or concentrate on the next 4 hours, the next tomorrow's morning show until Seth gets in here.
I think you'll manage.
Doesn't seem fair, but also very well played by you. Nicely done. If this is empty, it's even better. It doesn't matter what's in there. It is going to be an amazing payoff. It's going to be a great payoff.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Melissa, already. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Today is winter solstice.
Oh, yes. The longest day of the year.
That's right. Winter solstice today, everybody. So if you don't have to be outside, don't. Just don't.
Plus, it's cold. Yeah. It's dang cold.
We get 10 hours and 20 minutes of daylight today. So if you do go outside, make the most of it.
Yeah. Find that sunshine if it's there.
Yeah, that one patch. Stay in it for as long as you can. The winter solstice, also called the hibernal solstice, occurs when either of Earth's poles reach its maximum tilt away from the sun. This happens twice a year, once in each hemisphere.
Yes.
Ours will technically begin at about 3:47 today, but if you have already been outside, you know that it has already begun. Shortest day of the year.
Well, up on the positive side, after today, we get more sunshine.
Right.
Every day, it increases.
Not so bad when you look at the trade-off.
Right.
I do. Do you remember this as a kid, though, this day?
Not really.
Mm.
Honestly, I don't.
I remember it being just rough. Especially, maybe I just remember, I don't remember, as a little kid as much as a teenager. Mid-teenager, like 13, 14, up to about 15, when my friends and I were always playing sports this time of year, especially when you had off from school. You'd get together in the morning and play football. Mm. You'd play football at night. All that kind of, with the shorter days, you just didn't have as much time outside.
Right. You'd run out of daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember that winters seemed long and dark. I was a kid.
that's accurate. That seems accurate. I was talking to a buddy of mine out in California, and he was telling me how it's getting colder over there. And I told him to shut up. and I don't remember the last time I've literally said those two words to somebody. I honestly don't. I don't. It's not to say that I've never said it. I just don't tend to say that to people. I just block them out in my head if I don't want to hear them. I don't tend to do that. It was foreign for it to come. It was like I was saying Latin coming out of my mouth. And the look he gave me, I felt like a parent in that moment. Like he was a kid of mine or something like that. He was so hurt by it and everything.
Aww.
But in my defense, he would not let this go. He just thought it was so darn funny. And he's never spent a day in cold weather. Not a day.
Well, then that's going to be pretty extreme for him. But I hear you on those two words because my mother would not allow us to say that. Paramount to a swear word or swear words in her vocabulary. So we weren't allowed to say it. I have recently taken up saying it now and then in the last couple years. And, it feels weird.
Yeah.
It's like the weirdest thing to say.
It
feels disrespectful.
Not to be rude or lower my class level or anything like that, but I can't think of many swear words outside of one or two that I have any issues saying nonchalantly quite easily. But words like that, terms like that, I don't know.
I don't know why.
Somebody did something to us. Somebody put something in our brains that...
I mean, it seems more polite to turn to somebody and say, stuff it.
It does. Yes. Yes.
And shut up.
Isn't that the weirdest thing?
That is weird because that seems more rude.
Maybe...
Like, if you think about the literal implications of those two words.
Very good point. Very strong point by you. I did want to get into a little bit of our schedule here. Of course, Mel and I will be hanging out with you throughout the day today, and then we'll lead you into Morning Magazine, where in part one, we welcome in Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media into as well. Always enjoy talking with Shane. That's going to be a good conversation. And in part two, Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Services Officer. Love talking with Rock.
Awesome guy.
He really is. Rock is
just fun to talk to.
Just fun to talk to. Just a great human being. Love talking with him. Looking forward to that. Also, just wanted to preview the rest of the week with everybody. Tomorrow, we'll get the gang together. We'll have Melissa and Seth with us. It's going to be a fun show, and we'll get to open this gift and have it scare Seth and I or whatever is going to pop out of there. It is growling. I don't know if that's good or not. Also on Morning Magazine, our friends from Family Natural Foods will be in. That'll be a lot of fun. Always enjoy talking with them and catching up what's going on over at the shop.
Good to hear what they've got on specials because it's that season.
We wish a good morning to Stephen and Katrina and the whole staff over there. And in part two, Laura Huber, 4-H program coordinator with Wood County Extension. Love talking 4-H. Laura is so much fun to talk to. Her energy is unpalpable. She is just so much great fun. And then on Friday, Seth and I will be hanging out all morning because Seth will be in with us to co-host the morning show, get you ready for your holiday weekend. And then on Friday, we have a special edition of Playmakers. We're going to overtime with Playmakers, everybody.
Ooh.
So next week, we'll be off Monday and Friday. We will have none of our original shows on Monday and Friday next week, of course, with the holidays. Since we won't have a Playmakers this coming Monday, we thought, well, let's go ahead and put it on Friday. And Pam and I were talking about this, and over the years, it's rough trying to ask guests to come in on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Or Christmas just Christmas Eve weekend. Eve week, yes, exactly. on the weekend of Christmas Eve is how I meant to put that. So we just thought it'd be a lot easier. Why even bug anybody to come in, including Randy doing sports? Seth is already going to be here. He volunteered, so he's going to put up with me an extra day, an extra hour, extra day, really.
and you guys like sports, so, you know. It's a good thing.
It'll be a fun show, but I do have to put it on the audience. We're going to be looking for your calls on Friday. We want you to call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. One of the things Seth and I are going to get into is famous sports events, sports moments on Christmas. Some of the most famous sports moments that happened on Christmas. And I want to know some of the audience's favorite moments as well. So you have a couple days here to collect those, everybody. Be sure to join us on Playmakers on Friday, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. And we got sports on the radio, of course, Melissa. I want to touch on that a little bit later or tomorrow on WIRI. We'll have Marquette Coaches Show join that for 6 o'clock. And on Friday, of course, Playmakers. And then at 7 o'clock right here at WFHR, it's a ball night. The Wisconsin Badgers take it on the Grambling State Tigers.
Whoa.
I am a big Grambling State fan. I love the Badgers, rooting for the Badgers and everything. But every once in a while, they play a team that part of my youth. I grew up loving Grambling State. I actually grew up really loving Eddie Robinson and just fell in love with the Grambling State because of that. So that one's going to be a tough one for me. But I'm rooting for Wisconsin just because they don't need the win, but the wins mean more, I think. In some ways.
But that's a good thing then. You get to cheer every time a basket's made.
Right, yeah, exactly. You can't lose, yeah. I want to get into our 30 Hours of Christmas. We'll do that tomorrow. Now, longtime listeners, you guys that know, our 30 Hours of Christmas, nobody can match them. Nobody does what we do here for Christmas and these 30 Hours of Christmas. We've been doing this for a very long time, and over the years, we've kind of like wanted to upgrade some things, and we've kind of tinkered with it a little bit here and there, but we hadn't really been able to do very much. We have, of course, a great general manager right now in Chuck Gennaro, who also happens to be our engineer. Chuck worked really hard on the 30 Hours of Christmas and putting this together. We have such a great lineup. We've got some of our original shows in this that we're going to do holiday-themed episodes of. Of course, some of your favorites like Jack Benny and so many others. just so much more. We cannot wait to get into this.
No, it looks like a fun lineup.
Yeah, Chuck did a really great job with that. So we'll get into that in a little bit later. Tomorrow we'll get into it with Seth and Melissa. We'll go over the three of us together. We'll actually probably start our show with that tomorrow. Coming up, I want to get into another one that, because Melissa has been doing a great job sending us stories for the morning show here. As she's not busy enough with news. She's crazy busy with news. Might as well add a little bit on to there. But I do appreciate it, Melissa. One of the articles that I came across that I thought would be fun, because we'll get some of the ones that Mel sent, 7 Wisconsin light displays you don't want to miss this December.
Ooh, yeah.
Want to get into that one. We'll do that this hour as well. So plenty to talk about this hour, all coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and it is time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for the December 21st. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. Looking at today, there's a handful of things. Wow, a bunch of stuff for today. It's National Short Girl Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Yes. Short girls rejoice. Rise
short
up.
Short girls rule.
Rise up. Oh, you already did stand. I'm sorry. No.
Hey. That was not
cool. That was not nice. It was not cool. It's not fair. there are millions of short women that I've known, and all of them are amazing. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the start of this day was, though. What got this day started? I don't have a history of it. Weird. They always give me a history of these things. Huh. Let's see here.
History. There have always been short girls, and they've always been amazing.
There you go. Short girls are all the rage, and National Short Girl Appreciation Day is our opportunity to raise them up above all the crowds.
Don't buy them a step stool. That's demeaning. They already have at least six.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. It's humbug day. Humbug day.
You know, one of the things I learned about my boyfriend when I moved in with him is that apparently Christmas is, I don't know, he has feels about the holiday. He has a giant, and I mean giant, sign in his basement that is decorated with string lights that, you know, very Christmassy, and it says, Bah Humbug. I mean, this is like easily an 8x4 foot sign.
Nice. Nice. that's interesting. That is interesting. Yes. I would have guessed that with him. Huh.
No. And the effort that it would take to put that, to first off, make it.
Yes, yes.
And then to display it outside. I mean, come on.
You really got to go above and beyond. And I have to say, I admire it. I really do. I admire going all out like that. That's that is my kind of speed. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I've talked about it before and stuff. Christmas and I used to not get along. Got a lot of bad memories on the day. I've been working to get better about it. But growing up, I was a Bah Humbug person. I'll own it. I'll admit it. I will say something, though, while I am trying to get better about the holiday and all those things, Bah Humbug is fun to say.
It is.
It's not fair. We're kind of pushed against this and everything, and it's, you know, not supposed to be something that we say, or, you know, it's not a happy term, but it's fun to say, though. It almost shouldn't be. Like, it feels like the word, like, for what its meaning is, it shouldn't be as fun to say.
But it also seems like it's a little tongue-in-cheek.
Like, yes,
you can kind of use it as Bah Humbug, and you're still smiling, you know, you're enjoying the season, even if you get a little huffy about it now and then.
Here's the history of Bah Humbug, created by Tom and Ruth Roy of wellcat.com. This day embodies the essence of Ebenezer Scrooge, who was the grouchy character in Charles Dickens' famous novel, A Christmas Carol, published in 1843. I think Scrooge is a good example with this day and in Bah Humbug. And when you run into Bah Humbug folk, if you will, some people are feeling rough this time of year and they don't want to.
Right.
I never chose, hey, I'm going to dislike Christmas. Hey, I'm going to be in a Bah Humbug mood this time of year. Old memories, you know, haunted me. And along with losing people and different things on the, you know, around this time of year and on the, you know, Christmas Day and these things. And
this time of year can be very difficult.
Even just talking about it kind of stirs a lot of this up in me and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, of all the times of the year to give each other grace, there's never a bad time to do it, but this is the perfect time to do it.
It is. And if you want to celebrate this day, I am a total advocate of wearing a nightgown and a sleeping cap to work. Just like Scrooge.
Nicely done. I hope Seth comes in like that. I feel like Seth would have one of those hats.
Oh, yes.
One of those
oh,
old, you know, the old school hat that I'm talking, like Scrooge hat? I feel like
right, like a sleeping cap.
I have no reason to think that or believe it. I don't even know where that comes from. But for some reason, I feel like Seth would have one of those.
If he doesn't, he should.
It's internet. He should. Yes, we should. We should get him one. Yep. International Dalek Remembrance Day.
What is this?
Exterminate. If you are a fan of Doctor Who, these words will send you into a quick panic attack. Or have you running to your TV to see the latest episode of Doctor Who, or maybe the new Doctor when he comes out. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who has been with us for a very long time. And the Daleks, I know I'm saying that wrong. we both know somebody is going to be very mad at me. Are his longest,
it's okay, you'll get corrected.
His longest ongoing and most feared enemy, ultimately responsible for the destruction of the Gallifrey in the Time War.
Mm.
Sounds heavy.
It does.
That sounds pretty tough.
But, you know, Doctor Who is a cool show. I haven't actually gotten to see a whole lot of it because I was much more Stargate person.
Yeah, yeah.
But at some point, if I need a show to binge watch, that's on my list.
I watched the season with David Tennant on it because I'm such a huge fan of his. Mm-hmm. And I love the concept. I love the idea. And as far as story ideas go, you can't come with much better, especially if your idea is, I want this show to always exist. Well, actors, we get older. As much as we lie about it, we get older. You know, so how do I do this and I can interchange that character, that main character? How do I lose my lead actor and still keep a hit TV show?
For 26 seasons.
26 seasons. I mean,
26. You don't have 1963.
You don't have to like Doctor Who to respect it. Anything that could do that is impressive. I think this is about James Bond. Right. I know people who have never watched one movie of James Bond, but have a lot of respect for the genre, for what it's been able to do. It's been able to stay afloat since the 50s or 60s, I believe, in both of them British, you know, creations. I think that when you're creating a show, I think this is one of the first things that I think of. How can I, longevity, how can I keep this fresh? How can I keep it growing? Because there's a couple things that stand out to me about that make a great TV show. It's not ratings. It's not fanfare or any of that. It's things like that. It's how many you usually start out a show. Let's say you start out a show with three base main characters. Who grows from that show as you create it? The greatest shows in TV history, Sopranos, The Simpsons, Seinfeld, any other shows that begin without a S. I don't know why I named all S shows there. Cheers, you know, anything. They create
Friends.
They create spinoffs. They create more characters. I never saw Friends, but I know that half of the popular characters on that show weren't even the main guests, you know, the people living together or whatever.
Right.
That's what best shows do. Doctor Who has been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heck of a show. Let's see here. National Crossword Puzzle Day.
My grandma, Jean, did crosswords. She could solve them.
Wow.
It was just very impressive to me because I didn't know any of the answers. And then there she is just ticking through it.
It's always been interesting to me to see how certain people, like my mom, will like take the New York Times crossword puzzle and those kind of things and do it in pen, you know, and that stuff. And
I mean, Grandma had an erasable pen, but she still did it in pen.
Yeah, it's just impressive to me. That is. We got so many more of these, Melissa, I want to get to your news on time. We're going to go ahead and take a timeout right here, and we'll come back to these, okay?
All right.
So we'll get to Melissa's news. You go ahead and sit back and listen to that. We'll come back and wrap up our National Day of Calendar here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Show here on WFHR. Everywhere we go, I like this.
Yeah. I've never heard it.
Me neither. Yeah, it's not bad. I like that. I'm trying to place that voice. Sounds like sounds a little like Michael McDonald almost, but not like I know that voice.
Seth will fill you in.
That's going to bug me until I see him. That's gonna Welcome back to the morning show here, everybody. Melissa and I are going over our National Day of Calendar, wrapping that up for this December 21st. Got a lot of stuff on this day.
Yeah.
It's also National Flashlight Day.
It's a good day with it being the shortest day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Flashlight, as we know them today, we're going to look at the history of the National Flashlight. Let's take a look at the history of the flashlight itself and see how it came into creation. With the invention of the dry cell and miniature incandescent electric light bulbs, it soon allowed the first battery powered flashlights to be possible around the year 1899.
Wow.
In 1887, the very first dry cell battery was invented. Unlike previous batteries, it used an electrolyte paste instead of a liquid electrolyte.
Hmm.
This was the very first battery actually sustainable for portable electric devices that was safe, as it did not spill or break easily and worked in any orientation.
Uh-huh.
I think that for many, we think of the Industrial Revolution as bringing a lot of these things to the fold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until then that certain things were invented. I think if you asked most people, you know, when the flashlight was invented, that's probably around the time that they would say. I don't think many people would say the 1800s. That's incredible to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I didn't know that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those ones that wind up?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are kind of cool too. Like, you got to wind them to get the charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, flashlights, they're handy. They're fun. They're you know, in some cases necessary. In you know, case of like power outages and those kinds of things. So we're under possibility of that happening. Make sure you have your flashlight batteries fully charged and ready to go.
Being real with everybody here, we always had a flashlight in the house. Like, growing up, we always did.
Mm-hmm.
When you're poor and your electricity could be turned off at any time.
Yeah, you always got to know where they are.
Yeah, yeah, you do. You do.
Unfortunately, kids also like to play with flashlights mm-hmm. when they don't realize that, you know, they could be necessary. Mm-hmm. So sometimes having that flashlight in the drawer, it's not always in the drawer. And then you go to find the flashlight and it's not there.
Or it's dead. The battery's dead in it. Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure
Or it's been taken apart and there's a piece missing.
I'm guessing we did that to my mom and dad at least once or twice.
Yeah.
Oh, well, earlier we mentioned that it's Bah Humbug Day. Well, what's the other side of that? Look on the bright side day.
Nice.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Yes.
Every one of us have heard the phrase "look at the bright side" at some point in our lives, and not just from a great Monty Python movie. our friends to family telling us to cheer up. What does the phrase truly mean? To figure that out, we must delve deep into the mountain that is the past, so that we come with us as we explore this. Now, nobody knows who or when or where the popular phrase was coined. As for the meaning, it's a way of someone telling us to be cheerful and optimistic despite the difficulties we may be facing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, being optimistic is difficult for some of us, especially when we have to deal with a loss of a loved one or something difficult happening in our day-to-day lives. This phrase stands to push us forward and look at the brighter things in life and in the events that have happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, when one thing ends, another begins. Every ending, there is a beginning. We talk a lot about silver linings in the last 4 or 5 years around here with the pandemic and everything else.
Yes.
I feel like with the pandemic, this has taken on a new light. No pun intended. It really has. I think that more people that I've known more people in my life that don't look on the bright side, but now tend to.
Well, because things got pretty dark there for a while, and we had to rely on each other, and we had to find reserves of, you know, optimism and positivity that we didn't necessarily have to draw on before.
Yeah.
So,
it's Ribbon Candy Day. I think a lot of people.
I remember ribbon candy. That you used to get it out of like the bulk.
Yeah.
The bulk candy thing in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I remember my grandma always having it. I thought it was the weirdest looking stuff.
It was really weird, but a very good peppermint. If you like peppermint, uh-huh. that was a good way to have it.
Yeah.
It's National Coquito Day. Food and drink have a powerful ability to make a holiday very special, and one such drink is Capito, a Puerto Rican tropical version of eggnog that is traditionally enjoyed around the holiday season. The name Capito can be translated to mean little coconut, and since this holiday drink is flavored generously with rum and coconut, we think that that is very apt.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It doesn't sound like you've had one of these before, Melissa.
I have not, but I've had coconut eggnog. Which sounds like it would be very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are. I've had that before, too, and it is pretty... outside of the rum, it is pretty much that. Mm-hmm. Growing up, one of my best friends was Puerto Rican, Jamal, and his family made these every year this time of year. They homemade them and stuff, and it was really
nice.
Good. I, of course, didn't have one because I was too young.
Right. Yeah. Right. No rum for you.
Nope. It is my favorite drink. Rum. Rum, that is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's Don't Make Your Bad Day. Woohoo!
Man, I failed.
I did too.
I already made my bed.
In my defense, I never unmade my bed last night. So there you go. I didn't make my bed this morning. I kept up with the tradition. Don't make your bed day. I feel like I did that wrong, though.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Don't Make Your Bed Day has got to be one of the most amusing holidays to exist, and the petition written to Congress by a New Mexico fifth grader is definitely one of the cutest things you'll read in a while. Unless you're a bit of a self-confessed clean freak, raising my hand, Don't Make Your Bed Day is definitely a date you're going to be excited about. In fact, some of you hearing this may be celebrating Don't Make Your Bed Day every day.
We got to read the letter. Oh, it's so cute.
Don't Make Your Bed Day is admittedly relatively new and is based on a petition an elementary school boy wrote to Congress. It reads, "My name is Do you have the letter, Melissa?
Yeah, I do.
Do you I want you to read this if you don't mind.
My name is Shannon Barba, and I reside in Tejeras, New Mexico. I'm in the fifth grade at Calvary Christian Academy. I am writing to you to ask that you help me figure out a way to institute Don't Make Your Bed Day. I have made my bed every day since I was 4 years old. I make it so my parents are proud of me, but sometimes I get really tired of making my bed. I think grown-ups get tired of making their beds, too. I think everyone in our country would enjoy one day where they don't have to make their bed and not feel bad about it. I suggest December 21st of every year because that is the shortest day of the year this year. On that day, we spend the least amount of time out of bed, so it would be nice to leave it unmade. I appreciate your help and ask that you please send me a response letting me know if you're able to pass a bill that would make a Don't Make Your Bed Day. I have been in contact with my state senator. Ooh. However, at this time, he said Congress is busy with more pressing matters. I respect that. However, I would like to continue my campaign. Even though Senator Udall said I don't have to make my bed on December 21st, I'm concerned for all the other kids in our country.
God, that gets the heart, doesn't it?
Wow.
What a kid.
Great job, Shannon.
Yeah. I love that he chose this day because it's the shortest day and all that. And we're away from our bed.
That makes total sense.
Great thinking. Well done. And I love that he was thinking of other kids.
Mm-hmm. And adults.
And adults, true. Yes, and adults.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of our best. That's got to be one of the best of these things. That is a really good one.
I hope that this young man has gone on to continue writing letters to his congressmen and senators.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to hear that he would turn into a politician even. This is my kind of day. It is National Short Story Day. Do you love literature? Do you feel you have an inner creative streak you've never acted on? Do you have a brilliant idea that you're afraid isn't long enough to make it into an entire book? Well, this is the day for you. As a writer, I've never been good at writing really long novels and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Not once. It's always been something that I've struggled with, actually. Especially growing up with my mom's favorite author being Stephen King. And Stephen King, if you've read one page of his, and I love Stephen King, have all the respect in the world for him, but Stephen King could spend 30 pages on a doorknob and talking about it and describing it and everything. And that's just his skill. That's his talent. Mm-hmm. He's very good at being able to do that. I'm the opposite. I find I like to let my readers, people reading my work, I like to let their imaginations work.
Mm-hmm.
So I give them enough details here and there, but I leave certain things open for a reason.
Right.
Because I like
cut
them
to the chase.
I want, especially when I'm describing a lead character, I want people to be able to envision themselves in that role. So I don't tend to put like a lot of like their nationalities or their age or that kind of thing to them.
Okay.
And that tends to shorten a story up too.
Right. Well, yeah, if you don't use a lot of description and detail, that can definitely shorten up things a little bit.
Just like writing a poem or a rhyme or however you want to word it, I also think short stories are something everybody should give a shot to. Yeah. Everybody's got an idea out there. Everybody's thought of something before. You don't. It does not have to be Shakespeare. It doesn't have to be King. It doesn't have to be any of these great writers or anything like that.
No, who's and to you say, don't even have to write it down.
Absolutely, yes. It's just a matter of you being creative and getting it out of your brain and being able to put it out there and enjoy it and maybe let others enjoy it.
Yeah.
And wrapping up, it is National French Fried Shrimp Day.
Mm-hmm. French fried shrimp.
Mm. I like all breaded things.
And all breaded and deep fried, but why do they have to call it French fried?
I'm not sure about that part.
Because, I mean, like, I have never ordered French fried shrimp.
Yeah, and they're saying even here in the article, sometimes referred to as battered shrimp or tempura shrimp. So
Okay.
That makes much more sense.
Coconut shrimp. That's my favorite. That's the way to go.
Coconut shrimp ain't bad, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, with a plum sauce. Mm-hmm. So yummy.
That is. No, I've had it a long time ago, but do remember liking it. I'm a big fan of popcorn shrimp. I'm just a fan of anything breaded and shrimp, a shoe. I don't care. Just give it to me. We'll take a break right here. We'll get back, and I want to get into a couple of fun topics. And then next hour, we'll kick off the 8 o'clock hour with not only your friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, but 7 Wisconsin light displays you don't want to miss this December. All that coming up for you in the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 7:50 on the clock. Going to take you right to the top of the hour with nothing but fun. We got a good one here, but I wanted to, before I dive into this topic, Melissa, I got to ask, have you ever been a robe person?
I have a bathrobe.
Okay. Do you enjoy it? Do you like it? Do you use it very often?
Well, sometimes. Depends. If I'm cold, I really like it.
What is a robe? I never really wore robes. When I was really little and I was living with my nana and papa, they gave me one and I wore it because my papa wore a robe. And when he was with us most recently, he left and left his robe here. And he just said, oh, you guys keep it. I got to get a new one anyway. So I started using it just for the heck of it because my mom and dad have been for years like, let us get you a robe for Christmas. And I wouldn't use it. I just don't use them very often. It's like if a towel came to life. Or an unusable towel is what it reminds me of. It doesn't really... I don't know. You can't go to the bathroom in them. I'm sorry if that's, you know, not PC or whatever, but you can't. They seem frustrating to me. They just kind of get in the way. And yet they're one of the biggest gifts to give this time of year.
Well, think of them as a full body sweater when you're in your pajamas.
That's not a bad way to put it. Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to put on a regular sweater when you're in your gym jams, but if you got a robe and you want to be warm but you want to stay in your pajamas, there you go.
Well, maybe we can give people an alternative idea to what they get outside of a robe. We go to our next our first real story of the day. This came to us from Annie D. Annunzio. Not just for kids, toy makers aim more products at grown-ups. And these, we're not talking robes here, everybody.
Oh.
Since the pandemic, Elizabeth Holenek has turned to toys from her childhood to relieve stress. She and her coworkers chip in to buy Legos at Target and play at their desks. She also started playing with Silly Putty again. Nothing she felt comfortable. Noting she felt comforted by the bouncy, rubbery stuff.
Yeah.
Even her American Girl dolls called Samantha, which she keeps in her china cabinet, resonates more these days. She waited 1 year for her mother to buy her that doll when she was a child, and now she says it serves as a reminder to always be patient.
Yes, I have Samantha and Felicity.
Oh, nice, nice. Long before the pandemic, many adults turned to toys from Legos to collectible items to tap into their inner childhood for comfort. But all the stresses from the health crisis accelerated and solidified the trend, according to Jim Silver, editor-in-chief of TTPM, a toy review site. And even as the pandemic threat ebbs, toy makers from Mattel's American Girl to Build-A-Bear Workshops, Inc., see adults' interest in playthings as long-lasting and are creating new products, services, and websites aimed for older groups. The so-called kid-adult market is significant. Ages 18 and older represent 14% of the U.S. toy industry sales, or $5.7 billion for 12 months.
That's significant.
Now we're talking. Now you got my attention here.
Yeah,
okay.
Now you're getting into the billions.
This group was also enjoyed the second fastest increase after customers ages 12 to 17.
Well, they have, you know, the capital to spend on it as opposed to 12 to 17-year-olds.
Strong point. I've got to wait for your... that's true. Starting earlier this year, Mattel's American Girl Cafe added more adult fare, like beet and goat cheese salads and cocktails, to like Bloody Marys and that. Last year, Build-A-Bear launched a website called Bear Cave for the 18-year-old and over. Highlighting items like stuffed rabbits holding a bottle of wine and basic fun took a high-tech spin on traditional Light Bright toy from the 1960s and recreated it as wall art with thousands of pegs of 45 LED lights aimed at the adults in the time for the holidays.
Oh, I bet that one's going to go over real well.
That's $100, and that's $100 I'll spend right now.
Yeah, that's
I would
not
buy
bad.
That this second. That is, I didn't even hear, I never heard about that.
I loved my Light Bright.
I am in these last couple of minutes becoming a hypocrite because I was all ready to start ripping on this as soon as they mentioned that. Oh, wait a minute. In my defense, growing up, we did not have a Light Bright. My sister got one. My sister loved that thing so much so that I could not. I was too old to. I was 5 years older than her, and it would have made no sense for me to play with it and everything. Not that I would have been able to, because Jillian hogged it. So I got you know time to make up for here and everything. Now you got me.
A fun party game too. It hung on your wall and just everybody can. It's better than a puzzle. Because you don't have to have specific pieces. You want specific colors, but you have a multitude of them.
It's so much better than a puzzle. Oh, yeah. That's such a good idea. That's such a fun idea, especially this time of year. Oh, man, that'd be a fun one. Could you imagine playing charades with this?
Oh.
I just thought of that. Oh, I think that
would be fun.
That just evolved the game of charades to a whole new level.
But you'd have to have a group working on it at the same time so that it wasn't like, okay, an hour later.
Yeah, it would take a while.
Oh, yeah.
It would take a while. Oh.
It's Van Gogh's Starry Night. Nicely done.
I'm so tired. I'm sorry.
Oh, great, my masterpiece.
Yes. I like all of these. I'm trying to think of, because I think the first thing I thought of was Legos, as far as like toys that could transfer to adults.
Adults love playing with Legos.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We don't like stepping on them, but we definitely like playing with them.
No, we're going to insist on picking them up, but...
Something
we had that in our childhood, it's still fun and relevant.
Yeah. Something happens to us as we get older that we pull away from toys, and our bodies tend to... When you're a little kid and you step on a Lego, you just keep moving. And don't do anything to you. You're like, you know, big guy stepped on a Lego. Just keep moving. As soon as you turn like 16 and above, the second you step on a Lego, you'd rather step on a spike. There's very few pains like stepping on a Lego.
Pretty much.
There's a part of me that wants to push back on this in a way because I feel like more and more we're taking things from kids. We've already taken Halloween. Can't we just have things for kids? But at the same time, we just got done talking about, you know, coming through the pandemic and different things. If you are struggling out there and Silly Putty makes you happy, go for it.
Yeah. Get a slinky.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, you know, if that's what it takes, more power to you, man. I got no problem with that.
Also, who doesn't love the exuberance and just childlike joy that children have? Why can't that continue into adulthood? Why not?
Well, Something I was thinking of too in this conversation, leading into the conversation, the farther away we get from childhood, the less we remember what it's like to be young.
Mm-hmm.
And we become harder and harder to that, and stronger to the idea of, well, just tough it off, just tough it out. Or the, you know, when a kid is in high school and how big popularity is, we have no idea. We don't remember what that. As much as we may remember, we don't really remember how the tension that brought.
Yeah, and you're not living in the moment anymore.
The peer pressure, what it was like to go to work, go to school with a pimple. You know, any of these things. If this maybe creates some of that in us, brings some of that empathy out, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Toys, they're fun.
I mean, you know, I don't really see a downside in this other than maybe, you know, if you have kids, stealing their toys. Yeah, they are
Dad,
their toys.
Give me back my Legos. Yes,
they are their toys, everybody. Let them have them. It's only fair. You can play with them when they go to bed.
I got this awesome fort I'm building in the bedroom. Like, but no, I needed that for my ship.
Just give them an earlier bedtime. And then you can play with it.
There you go.
You're going to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all of you.
I wouldn't object to that.
No, you. We will take a break. We'll come back not only with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center with an update from them, but we'll get into 7 Wisconsin light displays you don't want to miss this December. We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And, of course, our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing. All that coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.